Okay. That's kind of loud to me, but then I'm half deaf, so I can't tell anyway. And I use my glasses for distance, and I don't need them for reading, so actually I really can't see most of you out there. So if you fall asleep or you're frowning, it doesn't matter. So anyway, well, this morning I wanted to talk a little bit about faith and trust. And we assume that those are pretty much about the same thing. We have faith in God. Our faith is strong. If it wasn't, you wouldn't be here. And of course, we say we trust God and all that He does. But it's a little bit of difference between the two of them, and that's what I want to talk about this morning. So, first of all, the definition of faith is a belief, a firm persuasion, an assurance, and a firm conviction. Which I know everyone that's here, you wouldn't be here in this church today if you didn't believe that God is in heaven, Jesus is His Son, and He came and died for us, for our salvation, and that this is all a fact. That is what we believe, and that assurance and that belief will never leave us. But then also, there is trust. Trust is a firm belief in the reliability, the truth, ability, and the strength of someone or something. So you see, they're very similar, but they're a little bit different. So the question is, so why is it that we have such a strong faith in Jesus and the Lord in heaven? Our faith, we say, never wavers. But at times, we have trouble actually trusting Jesus. We actually lose our actual trust in God. You know, oh, our faith is strong. I've never stopped praying through all these things, but, you know, I don't know. I'm kind of like having doubts about how He feels about me. So why is this? He says, well, sometimes we think that He just really doesn't care about our everyday lives. He doesn't care about the little things in our lives. He's spending too much time taking care of the world and watching over the big things, and I'm just too insignificant. So, you know, I have to do my own thing. I can't really trust Him with the little things in my life. And that's where a lot of us fail. I know that's happened to me. And maybe we just feel like at times that He's just abandoned us. You know, I've prayed and I've prayed and I've prayed. I've prayed so strong for this, and I have such faith. But I don't know. He's just not hearing me right now. So, you know, I just don't feel like praying anymore. And that's what happens when we feel like we've been abandoned and we lose our trust. What happens? Our prayer life starts suffering. Oh, we're like, I don't want to pray about it again today because nothing's going to change. It's just going to be the same thing. Oh, we're not trusting. We're stopped praying. We haven't lost our faith, but we're still praying. And we're still like that, but we're not really trusting Him. And, you know, there's also other things that cause us to lose trust. And one of them is that we worry about things of which we have no control. Absolutely worry about things. We worry about what's going on all over the world. And as much as we pray about it and we do all these things, we really have no real control over it because it's in the Lord's hands. And that's when we need to trust Him. But we don't. We just, you know, we start trusting to other people to solve these problems, and it's not the way to go. So we need to just not worry over things. I remember I was reading a thing about Tom Landry, you know, the coach of the Cowboys for so many years. Very strong Christian man. Very strong. And people asking him, how in the world did you stay the coach of the Cowboys for this long through all the adversities and all the things, you know, the up and downs, and, you know, he had the thing, you can't win the big one. Same. He answered, I never worried about the things of which I had no control. Yeah, I turned them over to the Lord, and I went on about my daily routine. And that's where we need to be. Because, you know, we can lose our trust, not our faith, but our trust. And where we need to truly be strong. There's a lot of reasons why we should not lose our trust in Jesus. A lot of reasons. And one of the main reasons is because he tells us this. I looked this up, and I didn't look them up one by one. I looked it up on Google just to check. But anyway, in the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, 78 times in the Gospel, Jesus declares to us, "I tell you the truth." Right there, he starts the sentence, "I tell you the truth." Somehow I just get a visual image almost like he's in your face. "I tell you the truth." And then there's 23 times that he says, "Trust in me." But that's actually just the verb, trust. There's many more where he actually is talking about trusting and other things. But he actually says, again, right, "Trust in me." And there's also, in the Old Testament, 134 times in the Old Testament, the word trust is used. And again, that's just the verb. There's many ways, if you read them, with trusting and he trusted and all that, but it just directly says trust in the Lord. And, you know, if you look in your Gospels here, like I said, why should we be doubting? Why should we lose our trust? And here's just some examples. John 13:16, Jesus says, "I tell you the truth." John 13:20, "I tell you the truth." John 21:18, "I tell you the truth." John 16:23, "I tell you the truth." And why is it we don't believe him? I know he's telling me the truth, but I don't know if I can really trust him all the time, because, you know, our world's a different place down here than it is in heaven. No, it's not. And that's just a few in the Bible, right there in the Testament. You go through Matthew and Mark and all of them, you'll find over and over again, "I tell you the truth, trust in me." Well, another thing is we also in our lives, we just lose our patience. We're going through some long thing, whatever it is, drawn out thing in our life, and it just keeps going on and on and on. And again, you know, we're faithful and we're praying and all that, but we lose our patience and we say, "Oh, you know what, I'm just going to have to go out on my own and do this. I'm just going to take off and, you know, and do my own thing." Well, there went that trust. There went the trust. You couldn't wait for him. Couldn't wait for Jesus. You know, even though he's always a step ahead of us, we think we can't wait on him. But anyway, what does the Bible tell us about that? Well, over and over it says to be still and wait on the Lord. Be still and wait on the Lord. Psalm 27, verse 4. Wait on the Lord. Psalm 37:7. Wait on the Lord. And I want to read this one. It's Isaiah 30:18. And he says, "Yet the Lord longs to be gracious to you. He rises to show you compassion. For the Lord is a God of justice. And blessed are all who wait on him." We need to wait on the Lord. We need to trust in our waiting. That's the key, to not lose it, but to wait. And there's other reasons we can lose our trust in God. And this is the one I think we've all probably gone through, is that God's plans did not fit our narrative or our plans in life. Oh, you know, we start out, you know, "I'm going to get this great job. I'm going to meet that spouse that I've always wanted. I'm going to get that house that I've always wanted. And I'm going to go and I'm going to get the car I wanted and all these things. And I'm going to get a vacation home. And I'm going to, you know, retire when I'm 62. And I'm going to live the good life. And I know this because I'm a strong Christian." Well, we don't get the job we wanted. We don't meet that perfect person right off, then we can't afford that house we wanted, And then we find out we're not going to be able to retire when we want to, and things go on. And so what do? We take off all on our own again, and we lose our trust. God just really doesn't want me to have these things. You know, I pray to him every day, and my faith never wavers, but I just don't believe that he really wants these things for me. But that's not true either. We just don't wait for his plans. We don't wait on him. We don't look to see what he's done, what he's going to do for us. And again, well, I don't know. Can I really trust him? Well, you can, because he keeps promising these things to us. He keeps promising it. Over and over, he promises it. And he tells you right here, in Jeremiah 29. It's 11. And what does he tell us? For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. So why don't we trust him for that? He tells us right here in this book. He said, remember, I tell you the truth. God makes promises to us. Why do we not believe him when he tells us over and over, I tell you the truth? But you know, we're not the only ones that have ever suffered from this problem. And one of them, let's just talk about the Israelites, the Jewish people in the Bible. For 700 years, actually a little bit before that, but for 700 years from the time of Isaiah, they truly believed. They believed that the Messiah was coming. Their faith never wavered. It absolutely never wavered. And I was looking over here, and it's in Romans 10:2. Paul tells us about the Israelites. He says, for I can testify about them that they are zealous for God, but their zeal is not based on knowledge. You know, they were zealous. I mean, they were holding rock hard. That's a long time, 700 years. Through all the things, the occupations, all the things they'd been through, they still believed the Messiah was coming. They believed he was going to free them, and he was going to make Israel great like the days of Solomon, drive out the Romans. But here comes Jesus, and he's preaching to them, he's teaching to them. He even tells them on several occasions that he is sent here by the Father in heaven. He tells them, you know, I do only what my Father tells me to do. Trust in him. But nope. They don't trust him because he doesn't fit their narrative. They're waiting every day. They started following him. They were following him everywhere. He had his disciples, but there was thousands of people that followed him. But then every day they're waiting for him to pull out that terrible swift sword and start cutting down the Romans and driving the people out of Israel. Doesn't happen. So, there went that trust. Don't trust him anymore. We got to go look somewhere else. Happens to all of us. And then there was the disciples. You know, they're with Jesus every day. 3.5 years they're with him. And I'm sure more than 78 times they heard him say, you know, I tell you the truth. I'm sure more than 23 times they heard him say, trust me. And I mean, and they're over there, and they're just going 90 miles an hour, and they're just with him so strong. And even on one occasion, Jesus sits down with his disciples, and he asks them, he says, who do the people say that I am? And they say, well, some people say that you're John the Baptist. Some people say that you're Elijah. Some people say you're Jeremiah, or one of the prophets of old. And Peter jumps up, and what does he say? You're the Messiah. You're the Son of the living God. And Jesus says, you didn't hear that from man. You were told that by God. Well, man, I mean, Jesus right there. I am him. But everything, you know, a little bit later as we go down here, we go get down here and John 14. Sorry. I have to fit these little things in here. I just can't write all these down. I have to read them out of here. All right, he's with the disciples. This is shortly before his crucifixion. John 14, 2, or starts actually 1, but he says, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you." He reaffirms it to him again. Trust in God, trust in me. And he says, what? Basically, I'm not lying to you. If it wasn't so, I would have told you. In other words, again, I tell you the truth. But then what happens? A little bit later, he's arrested, he's taken out, he's crucified, and he's dead. And there they are. They fled. There went the trust right out the door. Can't trust him. Can't believe him. We know he was there. We have faith, but we just can't really trust that what he was telling us was true because it didn't fit what we wanted. Right up to the very last minute, they were still probably running around waiting for him again. Get that sword out. Start slashing the Romans. Just driving them out. But nope. He fooled them. Did his own thing. And so their trust was gone. But then what does he do? He comes back. And then he comes, presents himself to them, and he breathes on them the Holy Spirit. And then boom, the Holy Spirit's in them. After that, they never have another trust issue. They go out and they do everything that Jesus has told them to do and more. He even said, "You'll do more than I if you believe me." So they're out there. No more trust issues. You know, Paul says in 1 Corinthians 2:16, and you can read it in here, but he says, basically, he ends it with, "We have the mind of Christ." We've been given the mind of Christ through the Holy Spirit. What does that mean? It means we basically have the power to walk like Jesus, talk like Jesus, think like Jesus. He's given it to us. You know, Jesus never doubted, nor did he not trust what his Father in heaven told him. He tells you, "I do everything he tells me. I trust in the Father." So why in the world, if we have the mind of Christ and the Holy Spirit, why should we not trust Jesus? Why should we not trust him? You know, this world, it's full of lies and it's full of mistrust. You know, people that are close to us, they tell us one thing and then they do another. We can't trust them. All these things happen to us. But you know, there is a way to protect ourselves from this lack of trust and to strengthen our trust. And there is a way to do it. And I thought about this. Anybody remember back in the 1980s when Ronald Reagan, he had just done a nuclear arms treaty with the Russians? And anyway, afterwards, a reporter had asked him, "Do you think we can really trust the Russians?" And he says, "Yes, we can trust, but verify." So you're probably saying to me, you want us to fact check Jesus? No? The answer to that is yes. Yes. Because when Satan comes against you and he tries to fill your minds with the lies and the mistrust in the things of this world, and you know, we're weak, even with the Holy Spirit and even with the mind of Christ. Oh, he comes against us. Well, you know what? You go and verify. And how do you do it? You pick up this book right here, and you go to Matthew, you go to Mark, you go to Luke, and you go to John, and you read them, and you look everywhere where it says, he says, trust me, everywhere where he says, I tell you the truth, and it will strengthen you, it will reinforce you. You can't miss any of it. It's written in red ink. Right there, bright red ink. But I tell you what else it's written in. It is written in the blood of Jesus, and it's written in the blood of the Lamb that He poured out for us to give us salvation. That's what's in those red letters. It is our salvation, and our trust is in this book. All throughout here, it's all about trust, trust, trust. Oh, that's how we can do it in our lives. If you go to John again, let's go back to John 14. Jesus says, okay, in 14:6, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Again, there's that word truth, truth, trust. You can believe me. So, you know, he shows us the way. He shows us the truth. He shows us the way in our daily lives. Everything that we do, he will lead us if we will simply just follow, trusting in him. And he is the truth. What does he say about that? John 8:32. You will know the truth, and it will make you free. Oh, being free of that lack of trust. Oh, it's freedom. It is true freedom to not have to worry that I can't trust this. And then he says, I am the life. He gives us life. He gives us eternal life. He gives us life here on this earth. What does he say about that? He also says, I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. That's John 10:10. We may have life not only in heaven, but we may have life here on earth and have it to the fullest. We just cast out that lack of trust. Because what is it? What is it? That staying so close in Jesus and his trust, what does it do? It frees us, and it also brings us peace. It brings us peace. Have you ever known someone in your life that you really knew you could trust? You know, whether maybe it's a plumber, maybe it's your friend, it's someone that comes over to your house that you know, you can trust them. And you know, people are there, you know, well, is he really going to show up? Yeah, you can trust me, he'll be there, or she will. And sure enough, there they are. They've never failed me, they're always there. I can trust them. Doesn't that bring you peace? I'm not worried. I know we'll be here. I'm not worried about it. So why don't we not worry about it when we know Jesus's got our back? He's right there. He says, I tell you the truth. Oh, because he says, John 16:33, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace in this world. In this world you will have trouble. But take heart, I have overcome the world. We can overcome the world too if we'll just reinforce our trust. Right here. It's the book. It's the book of trust. It's what it's all about. I want to come down here now and I want to read something to you real quick. And anyone heard of Charles Spurgeon? He was known as the Prince of Preachers. He was born in mid 1850s, or preached through the late 1800s, and he wrote a lot in there about trust, about trusting Jesus. But here's one that I think kind of cuts right to the core here. I've got several of them. He says, if you cannot trust God for the temporal, which is here in our lives, here on earth, how dare you trust him for the eternal? Okay? Yeah. That one reaches down in your heart, doesn't it? But then he also tells us, he says, that God is too good to be unkind, and he is too wise to be mistaken. And when we cannot trace his hand, we must. When we cannot trace his hand, we must trust his heart. We must trust him. God is kind. He gives us his trust. He showers it down on us. You remember the song, "'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, how I've proved him o'er and o'er. 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus." And here's the key. Oh, for grace to trust him more. Oh, pray every day. Pray to the Lord every day, every moment when you get up, before your prayer for whatever you need is, or what, even at the end of it. Get out here and pray. Oh, Jesus Christ, grace to trust you more. Grace to trust you more. His grace flows down on us, and he gives us that trust if we will just believe it. He's given us the strength, the Holy Spirit, to trust him. He's done all that. And it is by his power and his grace that we can trust, and we will grow stronger, and we will go through all these things. Thanks be to Jesus Christ. Amen. I want to pray something again for you. I know this is a sermon, it's not too long, but I just was trying to get right to the point. But anyway, I like the Psalms. Does anybody read the Psalms? I recommend, if you're not reading them all the time, start reading them. Because let me tell you something. There is healing in the Psalms. The Psalms are prayers, they're requests, they're stories, they're everything. Most of them were written by King David. Remember? The man after God's own heart. So there's a lot of healing in these Psalms if you'll read them. In a lot of, when you can't think of something else to pray about, I don't know how to pray, this is whatever, go to the Psalms. You'll find in there. You'll find in there the prayer you want. So if you have your Bible open, you can turn to Psalm 119. Verse 41 over here. And if not, just bow your heads. I'm going to pray. We're going to pray this psalm. It's not too long. So, oh Lord, may your unfailing love come to me, oh Lord, your salvation according to your promise. Then I will answer the one who taunts me, for I trust in your word. Oh, do not snatch the word of truth from my mouth, for I have put my hope in your laws. I will always obey your law forever and ever. I will walk about in freedom, for I have sought out your precepts. I will speak of your statutes before kings, and I will not be put to shame, for I delight in your commands because I love them. I lift up my hands to your commands, which I love, and I meditate on your decrees. Amen, in the name of Jesus. Okay. As I like to say, today is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Thank you.
Have you read the two Baptists?
Yes. Okay. Also, what?
She's showing you that.
Oh, yes. Right. But also, you know, go to Proverbs. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Okay. So anyway, I hope that helps somebody if you're wavering a little bit. We all do. No, believe me, I have done it so many times, it frightens me. So anyway, there we go.